Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. We're so glad you were able to join us today. For those of you who are listening on a recorded broadcast, please note that there's nothing wrong with your media player if it shows that there's only 35 minutes or 40 minutes in the broadcast today. Fortunately, here in Greenville, we experienced some technical difficulties, and we were not able to get on the air with our regular recording facilities and all the rest of it as we normally would have. So unfortunately, today's show is a bit abbreviated. We're glad you've joined us on the Tyranny Response Network, even on the Internet, to hear the recorded show. A couple of great announcements of new improvements of technology, although it seems we're in the moment going backwards a little bit. We're actually moving forwards by leaps and bounds with our technological upgrades. First of all, there is going to be a link. In fact, there already is a link posted at policyofliberty.net that says, click here to listen live via the Internet to the Tyranny Response Network, and that includes Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. You're able to do that simply by clicking that button, and if it doesn't work, there is going to be another button off to the right where it says a manual link up, which allows a person to go all the way over to streaming service, and the streaming service will then display a list of shows, and you simply look for the Tyranny Response Network, or I think it's, as it's listed there, Tyranny Net. And at Tyranny Net, you'll be able to click there manually and load the show. So hopefully this week, folks, we'll have a seamless version of the streaming broadcast available so that people all over the world and anywhere in America will be able to listen live to our show, Christian Worldview, as well as the rest of the Tyranny Response Network. We're real excited about that upgrade. It has not heretofore been available, and so hopefully we'll be able to meet the demand of those listeners who have only been able to listen to the recording so far. At any rate, that's a great piece of information. We would encourage you to visit policyofliberty.net and keep updated on the various Liberty Minutes and other things that we're continually trying to upgrade for our broadcast. At any rate, we also have a number of other exciting events happening with the Tyranny Response Network, and those events will be forthcoming as they transpire. We also have some other things to bring up to your attention today. First of all, we'd encourage you to follow the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is a newspaper published here in the upstate of South Carolina. It's a great publication, and you can pick up a copy of it at 44 Pine Knoll Road, for those of you who are in the area, 44 Pine Knoll Road in Greenville. We also are going to be giving you some information on how you can subscribe to the newspaper, the Times Examiner, for just $20 a year. I don't know how they pay for the postage weekly on the Times Examiner for $20 per year, but they do so. And I think the rates are going up to $25 per year in April. But if you'd like to give Bob or Laverle a call at 864-268-0576, that's 864-268-0576, you can get a subscription and read my regular column in there, as well as the columns of some other just great columnists, including Stephen Yates, who's an occasional columnist, Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Phyllis Schlafly, Ben Graydon, and some, again, just some tremendous folks who write in favor of liberty, free markets, peace, limited government, and against the tyranny that the state is posing us today. So once again, if you can, by all means, get a hold of the Times Examiner. 44 Pine Knoll Road is where you can pick up a copy. If they're not there, there's a machine out front that vends them for 50 cents a copy. You can call them, however, at 864-268-0576. Send them a check to 44 Pine Knoll Road for $20, and they'll put you on the subscription list for a whole year. I believe $38 is the cost if you subscribe for 2 years. But by all means, I would recommend you you picking up a copy of that paper and getting it into your regular reading schedule. Well, starting our show today, we also have, as we have in the recent days, a couple of quotes from P.J. O'Rourke. And he writes this, "One nice thing," and this is from his book, Holidays in Hell, "one nice thing about the third world, you don't have to fasten your seatbelt, or stop smoking, or cut down on saturated fats. It takes a lot off your mind when the average life expectancy is 45 minutes. It's so true, only 45 minutes living in the third world, my mind. He also says in the same book, "The interesting thing about staring down the gun barrel is how small the hole is where the bullet comes out, and yet what a big difference it would make in your social schedule." So, PJ has a way, he's quite a wit, has a way with words. And finally, he says, what would be a road hazard anywhere else in the third world is probably the road. P.J. O'Rourke is a habit of going all over the world in evaluating different countries. A number of his books are discussing issues of poverty, environmentalism, and so on and so forth. And he is just a tremendous champion in the cause for liberty and truth. I will say this, though. Be very cautious if you're going to read anything by P.J. O'Rourke, because although he's right on the money on his political and economics views most of the time, in fact, nearly all of the time, yet he doesn't say things in such a way that Christians would really appreciate. In fact, we would find many Christians would be offended by things that he says and what he writes. So God tells Jeremiah, again, if you separate the precious from the vile, you shall be as my mouth. And with P.J. O'Rourke, you definitely have to separate the precious from the vile. So if you have a tender conscience or certainly are not used to, or accustomed to reading things that might be considered vulgar in some areas or by some folks, don't bother picking up P.J. O'Rourke. Just let me filter through the good stuff for you and listen to the Tyranny Response Network, and I'll give you some of the great quotes from his books. You're going to be hearing more about great quotations for liberty. We are, in fact, in the process of recording many, many great quotations from Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Paine in Common Sense, many of the other founding fathers, including George Mason, John Adams, as well as Simon Bolivar, or Simon Bolivar, for those of you who speak Spanish, as well as many other modern contemporary famous scholars for liberty, Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, and others. These folks have had great quotations for liberty, great quotations that favor free markets, limited government, and peace, and we're going to be reading some of those and recording them as spots throughout the day. So if you're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, hopefully you're going to find interspersed there 10, 20, maybe 30 within this week or next week, different quotations favoring liberty. And you'll be able to listen to those and feast your ears upon them, those quotes, as we're reminded of the great thinkers of this country and what we've been able to accomplish and what they stood for. Well, before we went to our first break this morning, I had an opportunity to read a quotation. And for those of you joining us, and for the benefit of those who are listening to the recorded broadcast and did not hear earlier what happened on the break because we were offline for recording, I want to read this quote once again and see if you can guess who said it. It's a famous person, I'll tell you that. But he's since the NAACP is in the news today and for their hassles with the IRS, I thought it very fitting to bring up this quote that Gus sent in by email to the Tyranny Response Network. And here's the quotation. See if you can think who would have said such a thing. "I will say that I am not, nor have ever have been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of the white and black races. That I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of making voters or jurors of Negroes, nor of qualifying them to hold office, nor to intermarry with white people. And there is a physical difference between the white and black races which I believe will forever forbid the two races living together on terms of social and political equality. There must be the position of superior and inferior, and as much as any other man, am in favor of having the superior position assigned to the white races." Who would you suppose would say such a thing? Now, I'll tell you one thing. If the Tyranny Response Unit would say that, not be just reading a quotation from somebody else, I would be lambasted. He would suffer all sorts of injury from the media, from others who just couldn't believe he would be such a racist, such a swine. How could anybody have this particular view to actually subjugate as inferior people who are black and prohibit them from holding office or running for office or from sitting on a jury or even voting? How can you ever be such a racist, they would say, Dr. Coben. Well, this person got away with it. In fact, he was a very important person. If you haven't, and I realize you can't respond very well by raising your hands and letting me see who really knows who said this, being that we're on the radio and you're listening probably while you're driving along, but have you pondered in your mind who this might be, who could have said such a thing? Well, I'll tell you who it is. It's none other than the famous president, Abraham Lincoln. In a speech delivered on September 16th, 1864, less than a year before the end of the war between the states, old Abraham Lincoln was, by any modern classification, a racist, someone who despised the Negro. And yet we are so misled by modern historians, by those who revised history, to believe that he was the lover of black people and slaves, that he freed them. The fact of the matter is, folks, Abraham Lincoln wrote the Emancipation Proclamation as an act of desperation. The North was actually losing the war midway through. They had some tremendous losses in battle due to the outstanding generalship and officering of the Southern Army, the Confederate Army, especially the Army of Northern Virginia, with Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson at the helm. And these people, Lincoln was losing morale. Lincoln's soldiers were losing morale. Why did they want to go and fight people in Virginia or Georgia or Tennessee or, you know, these places when they had nothing to do with these people? They didn't care. The common man had no stake in the South if he was from Michigan or Maine or Vermont or any of the northern states. Why would he want to go down and blast people? Well, slavery was the key thing that Lincoln used to manipulate and motivate these people to go and attack the South. And that's what the political speech was for, the Emancipation Proclamation, to get people more motivated to go and fight for him. He was not obviously interested in slaves at all, or black people, or their rights. This speech, in September 16, 1864, was over a year and a half after he issued the Emancipation Proclamation. It showed that his mindset not only never changed, because there are similar statements made before the war, but that the Emancipation Proclamation was nothing more than a little shellac or an outright fraud in order to promote his cause of war in the world. Now, you may say, well, how do you know this is a true quote? Well, I've seen actually a picture that this fellow Gus emailed me in from Fort Sumter National Memorial, where this is actually emblazoned, emboldened on a plaque on the wall inside this National Historic Monument that Lincoln said this. It's right there. Assuming that they didn't just make it up, the federal government, when they made the monument and put it on the wall, I assume that's not, they wouldn't do that. And may be wrong, but I can't see to what advantage it would be for them to do that. But the plaque is hanging there, and as far as I can tell, the plaque's hanging there, and it says these words, Abraham Lincoln actually said it. Go see it for yourselves, and you heard it here on the Tyranny Response Network, that old Abe Lincoln is indeed a racist. Well, we're glad you joined us on the Tyranny Response Network this morning. We're, again, a shortened broadcast for those of you who are listening on the recorded line, or on a recording, because of some technical difficulties earlier today. For those of you in Greenville who would like to call in, you can reach us at 864-201-6955, and we'll do our best to get you on the air, 864-201-6955. We'll also take your questions and comments by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Right now we're coming up to a break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
Mic off. That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome back to the show. This is Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. If you want to reach us by telephone today, you can do so at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Questions and comments by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, in the same vein, in talking about Lincoln, we also have an article today published by Gary North on LouRockwell.com. LouRockwell.com is just an excellent source of information and articles from scholars, and I would encourage all of you to visit Lou Rockwell. That's LEWRockwell.com. Well, today Gary North, who is a noted theonomist, Christian Reconstructionist, and quite a scholar, I believe he has his doctorate in history from the University of California at Riverside, or economic history. He writes an article today that says, The Trouble with Conservatism. And he cites the something from George Bush's inaugural speech on January 20th, 2005. He says, "Our country has accepted obligations that are difficult to fulfill and would be dishonorable to abandon. Yet because we have acted in the great liberating tradition of this nation, tens of millions have achieved their freedom. And as hope kindles hope, millions more will find it. By our efforts, we have lit a fire as well, a fire in the minds of men. It warms those who feel its power. It burns those who fight its progress. And one day, this untamed fire of freedom will reach the darkest corners of our world." George W. Bush, January 20th, 2005. Gary North writes, "Fire in the minds of men." This phrase has the potential of matching the staying power of Lincoln's famous words in his second inaugural, quote, "with malice towards none, with charity for all," unquote. Lincoln's words were not carried into action. He was dead a little over a month later. Reconstruction followed. Will Bush's words be implemented? These words have received little attention from commentators. This is a pity, for they are not Bush's words. They are taken verbatim from the title of a book written by the Librarian of Congress, James Billington, which he wrote before he went on the government's payroll. What is significant is the subtitle of that book, Origins of the Revolutionary Faith. For a quarter of a century, I regarded Billington's book as the most important history book of the 20th century, the book without which you cannot understand either the 19th or 20th century. Billington traces the origins of communism and fascism, international revolution and national revolution. Both traditions began before the French Revolution and led to that conflagration. Both streams of revolutionary violence were persevered and extended after 1815 by two movements, journalism and the occult underground, without which the French Revolution would not have occurred. Billington's book provides more supporting footnotes in more languages for this thesis than any other book. The book was published by the neoconservative publishing house Basic Books in 1980. Its editor was Midge Dechter, the wife of Norman Podhoretz. It is also worth mentioning that it was co-funded, among other groups, by the Rockefeller Foundation and the Aspen Institute, as the author revealed in his acknowledgments. In the opening words of the introduction, Billington offers his book's thesis. This book seeks to trace the origins of a faith, perhaps the faith of our time. Modern revolutionaries are believers, no less committed and intense than were Christians or Muslims of an earlier era. What is new is the belief that a perfect secular order will emerge from the forcible overthrow of traditional authority. On page 5, Billington focuses on the imagery of fire, an image that began before the French Revolution and extended to Lenin's newspaper, Iskra, Spark. The heart of revolutionary faith, like any faith, is fire. Ordinary material transformed into extraordinary faith. Quantities of warmth suddenly changing the quality of substance. If we do not know what fire is, we know what it does. It burns. It destroys life. But it also supports, as a source of heat, life, and above all, fascination. Billington argues that the myth of Prometheus was central to the mythology of the revolutionary movement. A recurrent mythic model for revolutionaries, early romantics, the young Marx, the Russians of Lenin's time, was Prometheus, who stole fire from the gods for the use of mankind. The Promethean faith of revolutionaries resembled in many respects the general modern belief that science would lead men out of darkness into light, but there was also the more pointed millennial assumption on the new day that it was dawning, the sun would never set. And he goes on to discuss the New World Order and how the New World Order will be brought forward through George Bush and through this whole vision that was started by this man. At any rate, in conclusion, Gary North says, President Bush has offered nothing new of substance in his second inaugural address. What was important about the speech was the openness of its author, whoever he was, in connecting the president's foreign policy to the origins of the revolutionary faith that a century of the American interventionism abroad has implemented. What is amazing about the speech was its degree of self-consciousness. The president is dutifully following a path that extends back to 1898 in the United States and 1793 in France. What is new is the degree of commitment by American conservatives to an ancient revolutionary program of world transformation through force of arms. They now applaud an escalated rhetoric of revolution. The revolution was by 1938. But the willingness of conservatives today to abandon their intellectual and moral roots in the anti-French revolutionary tradition of Edmund Burke has now reached what may be a tipping point. It is not that the revolution was, it is that the victims on their way to the guillotine are singing the battle hymn of the Republic. They console themselves, it is a far, far better thing that we do now than we have ever done before. Include me out, says Gary North, January 31st, 2005. Well, Gary is pointing out something that's so important here for us to realize, folks. Traditional conservatism has been overrun now in the political ranks, at any rate, by the neocon movement. The neoconservatives, including Irving Kristol and many others, not to mention George Bush and most of the Republican Party, the vast majority of the Republican Party, has sold out to this concept of the New World Order, a big government, of interventionism abroad, and of defying all the elements of the so-called paleo, now so-called paleo conservatives like Edwin Burke, T.S. Eliot, John Adams. Now we have a new conservative, a neoconservatism that is really nothing more than a hyped-up form of liberalism with a bunch of conservative labels attached to it. We'll hear about anti-abortion, pro-life. We'll hear about very strong views towards military interventionism, a strong military. Folks, these are all lines that leftists have used forever. That's a part of the leftist cause, and now they're being used under the guise of conservatism. If you voted for George Bush, you made a mistake, folks, because what you're going to get is a neoconservative, a liberal, that's giving lip service to the things which you cherish, and instead is going to do the exact opposite of cherishing them. He's going to defeat them by his public policy. We're coming up again with another break. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network. Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This is the last segment of the show this morning. I want to devote this segment to either phone calls that might arrive or to talk about the marriage covenant issue. My last 2 weeks' columns in the Times Examiner, which is a local paper here in Greenville, South Carolina, and which my columns are posted online on policyofliberty.net. If you go to the policyofliberty.net homepage, that's where we have all our radio broadcast links and so forth. They're also going to find a link up around the picture of at the top of the page, picture of me, to articles and books. And if you go to the article, or all our articles and scholarly publications, if you go to that articles link and scroll down to the Times Examiner columns, you'll be able to see the inventory of my last 30 or 35 articles there, and the last two of them have to do with covenant marriage. Have you ever asked yourself a question, why do we need the state to license our marriages? Whoever came up with such an idea? Certainly God himself ordained marriage in the Garden of Eden, and throughout the scriptures we see marriage condoned as a means for not only procreation and creating offspring, avoiding fornication, and for the happiness of man and woman. But we see that the marriage bed is called undefiled. It's a good institution that God has ordained, and it is actually the most fundamental institution of the family in the world. Besides creating man as an individual, God also created him to be a social being, and the primary and most fundamental feature or aspect of social of society is indeed the marriage institution. Now, there are other institutions such as the church, which we find as important in the scriptures. But marriage is one of the foundational institutions that God set up for the purpose of spreading the gospel, nurturing the family, and keeping mankind healthy and happy. Marriage was ordained by God, but why in the world is the state involved with marriage? Is there some biblical premise for this? Do we ever see anywhere in the scriptures that Jesus or the apostles or the prophets or anyone, even in the Roman system, thought that marriage should be licensed by the state? Well, the answer is somewhat rhetorical because we simply don't. There is no excuse for having a marriage license. And the whole licensing of marriage came about in the middle of the 20th century. Well, that's not exactly correct. We have early marriage licenses in the 19th century, which permitted those who were of different races, such as blacks and whites, to intermarry, in the South in particular. But until 1925, we did not have any kind of state implementation of a marriage license system. And really, that marriage license system was not widespread until after World War II. It did pick up a fair amount of steam in the 1930s, especially starting in places like New York. But for the most part, people got married by simply writing their name in the family Bible and having a church service or having some witnesses in a certain place. You held yourself out to be married, and you made a public ceremony of it. You had witnesses there, and that was the end of the story. Martin Luther was not married with a marriage license. Certainly, Charles Spurgeon was not, and most of the people that you would know in American history from the founding, including George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, Alexander Graham Bell, Thomas Edison, none of these people had marriage licenses, and yet they were still married. Well, why in the world have we let the state intrude into our lives in this way? Well, the same way the state usually gets its foot in the door, with some purported public interest necessity. For example, the state might say, look, we have to make sure you're not marrying your cousin or your sister. You might not know that you're marrying your cousin or your sister, or I guess, so we need to test your blood and make sure that the blood types are not going to be a problem. And they do those kinds of things. So, or whatever other cockamamie scheme they might come up with. These are the things that are used and utilized by the state to get in their foot in the door. And then it becomes a rather tried and true traditional institution to get a marriage license, to the point today where people say to you, aghast, what do you mean? How can you get married without having permission from the state? You need to have a marriage license. And if you don't, you're not really married. Folks, this is not true. If it were true that people were not married or didn't have marriage licenses, then the vast majority of people, the vast, vast majority of people for the last 5,000 years have not been married, who think they've been married. But the truth of the matter is you do not need the state license to be married. It does not make you more married to simply have their permission. What it does do, on the other hand, is create all sorts of problems. It allows the state a foothold in the institution of marriage, this foundational bedrock institution of Western civilization. It allows the state to enter into the home and say, we have a stake in how the children are raised because we are, as one court case put it, one judge put it, the third member in the marital bed. We are part of what allowed you to procreate these children, and therefore we have some say over how they ought to be raised. Nowadays, 50 years after that court decision, I don't think courts necessarily care anymore, governments care anymore. They still try to say they have authority over the children, whether or not you have a marriage license. But you can see the sorts of abuses that can come from having the state involved with giving you permission to be married. It's your God-given responsibility or right to be married, I think, publicly and with witnesses so that people know you're married, and to make those vows public before God, but public so that others can witness them and hold your feet to the fire. But nevertheless, beyond that, you have no obligation to advise the state of anything of what you're doing with the marriage license. Now, in South Carolina, there are penalties. It is illegal to get married without a marriage license. You can be fined if you're the pastor who performs a ceremony of up to $100 and even be put in jail for 30 days. But I say, folks, it's time to just rebel against this and revolt. It's better for us to obey God than men. There's no reason for us to continue with this system of marriage licensing. There is no advantage to people in the church to have a marriage license whatsoever. It does not help us to be married or to strengthen marriages by using private contracts, the common law, and a simple marriage covenant document. We can deal with guardianship issues, with property issues, and even open the door, if necessary, to deal with problems in the marriage that might arise, even to the extent of divorce. The market system, along coupled with the use of the court system, can adjudicate all of these kinds of problems without having government intervention through a marriage license. The only hassle you might have is convincing a bureaucrat that you don't need a marriage license and that your document will work to change your name if you're the woman from your maiden name to your married name. But folks, even if they don't let you do it, listen, it's not so bad having your passport in your maiden name or your driver license in your maiden name. It's better to not have to have the intrusion of the state in your lives with the license and to allow and then just to have those documents with your maiden name, including the Social Security and all that issue, because Christians should not be taking Social Security to begin with any rate, since it's a form of conversion of funds, of theft, of receiving stolen funds. There is just no good reason to get a marriage license, and I would encourage you to read the articles at the Times Examiner by going by 44 Pine Knoll Road in Greenville, South Carolina, picking up a copy there, or phoning Bob or Laverle at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576, and get your yearly subscription for just $20. That's a weekly paper sent to you every week for $20 for an entire year. Great value. Read the articles online that I've written, and if you want to discuss them, send me an email to questions@policyofliberty.net, comments and questions to questions@policyofliberty.net, or give us a call on the next day's show at 864-201-6955, and we can talk about this marriage covenant issue and why we don't need marriage licensing. For now, we've run out of time for today's show. We're glad you joined us on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.